Welcome to Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is the Coast Zone 107.7 Triple M.
Yeah, Wednesday morning. Robert, good morning.
How about it?
Apologise.
For what? No. Stop spraying that stuff in here. It's going to get on my
food. Bought in sardine sandwiches again, Miss Kay.
You just can't sit there and whinge. First thing you come out of your mouth today is a whinge. All right.
That is disrespectful. And I saw you smiling. You were laughing about it. You think it was funny.
No, I just enjoyed the taste. I didn't want to have cheese on a sandwich because you know how when you feel like you're putting a bit on around it.
Yeah.
Mid-rift.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I'm gonna not have a toasted cheese sandwich at 5:30 in the morning. I'm going to have sardines on toast.
Bloody sardine sandwiches. Could you imagine a sardine with bad breath? How would they smell? Bloody terrible, wouldn't they? Wouldn't it be rotten?
Imagine.
Yesterday, we caught up with Sean Mielenkamp, who is the CEO of the Central Coast Mariners.
Yes.
And this is what he had to say.
The owner and the chairman, Mike Charlesworth, has made the announcement that he's looking to exit the club. So he's going to put the call out for investors to purchase the club and move on from there. So as we head into next season, there'll be a new ownership structure at the club, and we're unsure what that'll look like at the moment, but hopefully it's a good one.
So if you don't get a new investor, we might just retain the ownership, or what's the go, Shawnee?
No, unfortunately, if we don't find a new investor, it's some pretty bleak times.
Yeah, so it would be a very difficult time to sell a football club.
Yeah, it would.
At this present stage,
well, let's face it, they're not getting many people down to games. And it's not like they've got a huge support net.
Well, it would. What, like, would you? Okay, if you had quite a few million, would you be buying a soccer team? I don't think I would be, just in the current climate.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other things you could do with a few million bucks.
Yeah. So, but what are your thoughts? You might want to bring about that on First Calls this morning. Give us a call. Let us know about anything.
Do you fancy buying the Mariners?
Do you fancy buying the Mariners? Does your mate at work, does he bring sardine sandwiches and at, you know, smoko time, opens up his lunchbox and, my God, it just wafts through the smell. Horrendous, that smell, mate.
I used to work with a bloke who would bring salami.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with salami.
No, I couldn't cop it.
Why?
It was just too strong.
You reckon?
Sardines doesn't smell.
Yeah.
We've done this before. Can you just put it away? It's all right.
All right. Okay.
You're going to be okay.
And the NRL Schoolboy Cup today, despite the challenges of COVID-19, it'll kick off round one. And the Daily and Sunday Telly, they've secured the exclusive rights to stream the comp. And St. Eddie's College here from the Central Coast, making the four-hour trip to East Gosford from East Gosford to Tamworth, to take on Farrier Memorial Agricultural High School. So well done to the boys. All the best. Hope it goes well for you. And Schoolboy Cup, great football.
Yeah, cool.
It's a great breeding ground. So many of our stars, you know, past and, you know, current, have played in this comp, and it's just such a
great... Well, you got to start somewhere.
You're damn straight you do. Great rugby league comp. Hey, but if you want to have a chat about anything...
G'day, Mark from Terrigal.
I got up at 4:30 this morning, went to jump in the car, and someone stole my work boots from the front door. Not happy.
Okay. Oh, geez.
Oh, that is atrocious.
Mark, it may not be. Was it both or just one?
Both, mate, and they're not that old. It takes you, as Robert, now it takes you about 3 or 4 months to wear them in properly.
Yeah.
And they're laced up to clip arounds, and I've got a landscaping job at DY7, so I haven't even got time to stop at Bunnings to get another pair. So it's...
So what are you,
mate?
Well, drop by the studio. I've got my yard shoes that I wore on the week Sunday.
No,
my sand shoes. You can borrow those. I'll walk around socks all the day, and you can bring my sand shoes back later on. What about that?
No worries, boys. And to reverse the karma, I'll drop some milk down Monday morning for your Monday morning coffee.
Oh, Mark, mate, how about you? Just to make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I once had my work boots out at the front door, and I know what you mean, Mark. You get home, you take your boots off of the front door, you leave them there. Nice. You assume that nothing's going to change between that and the next day. Yeah. I had one day, someone's come along, I don't know how they did it, but they dinted the cap at the end of the toe. right?
How would they have done that? Yeah. How would they have done that?
Well, like put it in a vice.
No, these were like, it was like a hard plastic, I think. It wasn't steel, right?
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they've done something, like dropped a brick on it or something and cracked it in. So when I tried to put my foot in the boot in the morning, I couldn't get it past, I couldn't get it in. Look, I bloody near tore my toe open.
Look.
I don't feel so bad now, Rob.
Yeah. But you just say to yourself, who's going to nick boots? Who wants to nick boots? I just can't unbelievably. I know our dog Jack used to go around the neighbour and take one boot, but he'd never take the pair.
Yeah.
So, mate, yep.
Michael. Mate, I got up. I got up and packed all the tools last night. I got up this morning. Then I'm late now because I've just spent 20 minutes walking around the house, the garage, trying to find them. And I know they were at the front door last night because I put them there.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Okay, Marky. Well, look, as I said, drop in, get my sand shoes, and don't steal people's boots. If you're that desperate, give us a call.
Yeah, if you are wandering around right now in Mark's boots.
Yeah. Hope you trip over.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
See you, Marky. Bye, mate.
See you, mate.
You know what we used to do when Jack used to steal our neighbour's work boots? We'd leave the one out the front on the letterbox so that people, if they were missing a boot, they'd drive by and go, okay, Jack's done it again, the ratbag dog he was. Yeah. But you know what? Nothing like stealing boots. I just go, mate, same with stealing anything. You go, what about these people who nick other tradies' tools? I hate that. You just go, don't do it. Stop it.
My dad reckons he hates loaning stuff to people because they'll always forget. And it's not deliberate most of the time.
No.
Someone borrows this or borrows that, and then they just forget they borrowed
it. Yeah, they do.
And enough time goes by, and then you go down to your garage to look for that tool that you know you've got, and you go, oh, I loaned it to Dave.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, they, you know.
And then to ring them up and say, hey, Dave, you got my power saw?
Have you got my thing? And he doesn't remember.
And you go, and you feel bad. It was like my mate Deethy. He accused me of borrowing his electric planer. I said, I didn't, mate. And he said, yeah, you did. I said, mate, I didn't. So he put a Facebook message out, and the plane ended up being on his front doorstep. It wasn't me. I have got the crowbar from Ned across the road, and I'm going to bring that back today after 8 years. Thank you, Ned.
107.7 Triple M.
When one project leads to another, be rewarded every time with Kingcumber Mitre 10 Mighty Rewards.
Paddy and Rob Palmer's in the nuts.
G'day, David from Killarney Vale.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Excellent.
Are you at work or are you going to work?
I just got to work.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Google, what's that doing?
I work for Oliver's Real Food.
Oh, David from Galanibal.
No one's nicked your work boots like Mark from Terrigal, have they?
Nah, they wouldn't want to pinch mine. Mine are pink. They call me Pink Boots.
Oh, Pink Boots.
Really?
That's okay.
There you go. There's one way to keep your boots all to yourself.
Yeah, there's
nothing
wrong with that, David. Now, what we do, mate, we've given you three clues today of what the mystery item is that we've hidden in the nuts. Everyone's got one. Comes in all sizes, and clue number three today...
comes in all colours.
Okay, David. All right.
Here comes the drum roll.
Okay.
Your and guess. Hit us with it.
Toothbrush.
I can see Paddy's head just calculating, going through all the clues.
I'm there.
Everyone's got one.
Okay, David.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much. Comes
in
many sizes, yes.
You are wrong.
It's not a toothbrush. Sorry,
thank
mate.
You,
maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
See you, buddy.
Good luck.
Yeah, bye.
All right, same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. In the nuts, thanks to Kincumber Mitre 10. When one project leads to another, be rewarded every time with Kincumber Mitre 10. Mighty rewards! I reckon it'll go off tomorrow.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
107 points.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. That should be in the news instead of the other news.
Rob Palmer, good morning.
Paddy Gerard, good morning.
What's the news, sir?
Today... do you like buried treasure? Like looking for buried treasure?
Oh, jeez.
Because it exists.
Here we go.
It's true. No one had a map. There was no X marks the spot. You know what Luke Mahoney, age 40, had in his possession to find buried treasure?
You've been watching too much Pirates of the Caribbean.
No. He had one of those metal detectors.
I wanted to buy one. I looked the other day. You can get one at JB Hi-Fi about $169.
Whoa.
Because I've been watching it on Discovery or whatever the channel is about these Aussie pickers and all that sort of stuff.
And they go out and they find stuff.
Find gold, yes.
This was found
in a field
behind a local pub in England.
What did he find?
You can't imagine what this bloke is in the field behind the pub. Just there he is, in Luke Mahoney 40, scouring for precious metals.
With his metal detector.
With his metal detector. Yeah. And he found a beautiful gold coin and a sixpence on the field.
Yep.
Right? It doesn't end there.
No, there's more.
A plough had cracked a clay earthenware pot at some stage.
Yeah.
Buried 2 feet beneath the ground.
Yeah.
He unearthed 1,078 silver hammered coins, possibly dating back to the 15th century.
Like with...
He said they were everywhere. It was pandemonium. After 10 minutes of searching, I hit this massive signal and thought, this is it. We dug and saw the pot. The feeling of scraping the dirt away and seeing the coins is indescribable. Can you imagine finding it? You know what it's worth?
Yeah, no, what?
$180,000. Just found it behind the pub in the back, like in someone's backyard, basically.
Is that it? Only 180,000.
Oh, come on. How much buried treasure do you want to find?
I thought it was going to be worth millions.
Oh, mate.
You built the story up in 180,000 bucks. That it? Oh, Jesus. Let me down.
No.
Well, still, that's a pretty good find. Yes, it is a good find.
Please.
Okay. Does he get to keep the coins?
You're whinging to me over...
Ah, shut up. To other news. Palmer.
That was close.
To other news. The Darwin Beer Can Regatta, they have swapped tinnies for milk cartons. And what they did, the regatta's been going... I used to host it. I hosted it when I was in Darwin.
Right.
In 1974, they started. I wasn't there then. But this year, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. That was when it started.
Sure.
I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
The year, instead of the boats made of beer cans manned by heavy drinking crews, which they were when I did it, the vessels were made from iced coffee and flavoured milk cartons. But why I wanted to talk about the Darwin Beer Can Regatta, when I hosted it, oh, look, yes, I think I was a bit drunk. And my mate Foxy, we were working at the radio station together, and he said, because he was doing some other stuff, he said, would you be able to go and take some pictures? I said, yeah, for sure, mate. So what I did, when they were there, like, it's a very liberal place, Darwin, and they're all topless women everywhere, but they'd use zinc cream.
What, just walking around?
Yeah. Honestly, no joke. But they were using zinc cream to cover certain, you know, to paint it all in. And so what I did, I went and got his camera and just took all pictures of the girls. I asked them. And then, anyway, his girlfriend went and got the photos developed. And then she opened up the, you know, the envelope.
Back in the day where you used to wait, you wouldn't see what you had until you went to the Photoshop.
Yeah, that's right. You went to Kodak. And
sweetheart.
And poor Foxy, to this day, he said, Paddy, he rang me, he said, mate, he said, you know all those photos that you took? I said, yeah, the beer can regatta. He had a lot of explaining to his wife to do.
Yeah, plenty.
Or his girlfriend, I should say, at that time, to his girlfriend, Kerry. Yeah, but, oh, memories, mate. Memories don't. Have you ever been to one?
No, never have.
All right, okay. 107.7
Triple M. When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is the forum.
Oh, we had Rog, and then he cut out.
Something happened in his truck.
And then we just lost Rog again.
And we lost him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
But we were looking this morning in our forum. You might want to ring on 13 27 10. Retail in Melbourne, it's shutting down for 6 weeks. They're into week number one. The vast majority of retail stores, with the exception of supermarkets, will be closed down in Melbourne. It's a ghost town, affecting 250,000 people, taking the total number of those already stood down to around 1 million because the...
It's affecting more than 1 million. It's affecting the nation. And as you said, ghost town. And I'm noticing is the Premier's vernacular is changing a little bit to now is to continue to try and live, but do it safely.
Because... And just say if they don't get a vaccine.
It could be 2 years before we see a vaccine. Could be
who longer.
Knows when that is going to be.
Can we keep going with lockdown after lockdown financially?
Because by all those lockdowns, by that stage, you're dead on your feet. And how do you recover from that?
Yeah, you can't.
And what is the worse or evil? And I know that we feel like we can control the loss of life in corona by locking down, and that control is comforting, but we're losing control of everything else.
Yeah. Rog Gorrican, good morning, mate.
Hi, gentlemen. Sorry about that. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, mate. Can we maintain... Like what they're doing in Victoria, a six-week lockdown. Can we keep going like that? And if someone else gets it and clusters appear, can we keep going?
Look, yes and no. Look, it's a hard one. I see everyone's point because you're not bringing money in. You've got to get out of it and exercising. But the thing is, I keep thinking, I look overseas to America, and I think because they try to do this, look how many have died. And then on the other side, I see you guys making a good point because it's really a hard thing to keep doing. So what do you turn around and say, okay, we're going to relax a bit, but from now on, this is what we're going to have to do when we shop, this is what we're going to have to do when we go to work, you know, safety measures, but still get out and see if we can do it.
Yeah, well, we might have to. Otherwise, can we maintain a lockdown for 2 years? I don't think we could.
Oh, I don't think you could.
You couldn't.
Look, I've always said the only way you're going to get rid of this is the vaccine.
Yep, and that might be 2 years away.
Plenty of people agree.
Yeah. Hey, Rog, thank you so much, mate. We've got a Luna Park family pass for you. Don't miss Luna Park's Wild Weekends. Limited tickets. Right. Book now at lunaparksydney.com.au. Well done. When the last time we were up at Australian Reptile Park, zookeeper Dan, we asked him a question, right? Here we go.
Are you Ranger Dan or Keeper Dan?
Zookeeper Dan or just Dan. Yeah, but sometimes people say Ranger, but no, that's usually Ranger Mick, the old guy that works here, and I don't want people thinking I'm his son or anything like that.
Dan, what about on a Friday night? What are you then?
Koala Keeper Dan. Dolphin Trainer.
Oh, I've just lost him on the phone. For
Geez, you're having a day of it. I think he might have just got offended.
He may have. Anyway, we'll try and get him back.
Because now he's...
But like, we were living in 2020, and with the coverage... 2020, and the coverage of phones, isn't that great? Anyway, he's back. Zookeeper Dan, he's gone on to koalas full-time. Oh, g'day, Danny.
He's now 5 days a week. Hello, Dan.
You, mate?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah.
Long time.
Really? Well, are you up at the park now as we speak?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to work. I'm standing out in the cold for you. No worries.
Yeah, that's good.
You're a Trojan. You are a Trojan.
He keeps the koala. What do koala baby koalas eat?
So actually, it was funny when they're really young. Obviously, they start off on mum's milk, but then they've got to go through this little process where they've got to adapt to eating eucalypt leaves. So to do that, they've got to eat a special excrement from the mum, which is basically pap. So basically, they've got to eat mum's poo, and then they can start eating the leaves. So it's kind of like a transitional stage.
Oh, imagine that.
Bit like Rob's cooking. I know this is really great news, Dan, because the Australian Reptile Park have announced you've bred 9 koala joeys since those bushfires, which is sensational, mate.
Yeah, and a lot of work goes into that. Koalas are very, very hard to look after. And obviously the tragedy that we experienced with the bushfires, this is a good news story. 9 little koala joes, which I'm pretty sure is a record for the park as well. So yeah, good work to everyone. And nothing's cuter than a joey koala on the planet, besides my girlfriend, of course.
Yes.
Nothing, but besides that.
Tick that box there, Dan. Well done.
I know she's listening, so I thought I'd say that.
What's her name, Dan?
She's Dan as well. Danny.
Dan and Danny.
Well done. Good morning, Danny. Thank you for listening,
Danny. Lovely. So, mate, with the koala population at the moment, it's in dire straits, isn't it, really? How endangered are koalas at the moment?
Yeah, there's a lot of different information out there about the we know they're endangered. There's anywhere between 40,000 and 80,000 koalas left, I should say. That's a pretty small number. And if we don't do something right now, we will lose them. They talk by 2050. You know, that's only 30 years away. There could be no koalas. And I think if we lost our most iconic animal, one of the most iconic animals around the world, then what chance do the rest of our native wildlife have if we can't figure out how to save koalas?
And, Dan, if people rock up to the Australian Reptile Park, they can have a look at these 9 koala joeys?
Yeah, so when you go down into all the koala yards, all these joeys are starting. There's at least 5 that are really active, climbing out on mum's back, climbing out on mum's head. So when you walk down through the koalas, you're almost guaranteed to see one of the little joeys. So there's a whole stack down there. And obviously, we're open. Come and visit us. Beautiful weather. Get in before the rain this weekend.
Good stuff.
Wow. Paddy wants to borrow one and take it out on Friday night just to get some attention.
I'm sure I would. Imagine just walking down Terrigal Beach, little koala joey. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Okay.
Dan, and hope you and Denny have a little koala very soon as well.
Thanks, guys.
No worries. That's Zookeeper Dan for the Australian Reptile Park live up there this morning. Thank you, Danny. Well, shocking footage coming from Beirut this morning, Rob.
Unbelievable.
Horrendous. The death toll has climbed to more than 60 at last reports, with thousands injured. To find out more from Channel 9, we've got Sophie Walsh in London this morning. G'day, Soph. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, aren't those pictures absolutely devastating? It looks like a nuclear bomb.
So as soon as we saw it, I said, this has got nothing to do with fireworks. I said to Rob, and I'm looking at what you tweeted out this morning, Soph, it is total devastation.
Total devastation, and it stretches, you know, 20 kilometres away. It's the whole city of Beirut. There's damage. It's right across that entire area. Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, has just confirmed that at least one Australian has sadly died in that blast. The death toll currently stands at least 70. We are expecting that to rise, because you look at the pictures, you see how powerful that blast was, and you can see just the damage is so far stretching. There's 3,700 people who have been injured. A lot of people are being turned away from hospitals either because the hospitals are too damaged to take people in, or they're overstretched. They're already overwhelmed with the COVID-19 pandemic, and they simply can't take on extra patients. So this is just a country in complete and utter turmoil. The explosion happened in the heart of Beirut, in the busy port area, around 6 p.m. local time. So it was rush hour. People were sort of heading home, lots of people about. At this stage, it is looking like it was an industrial accident. It began with a fire. There was a video that shows what appears to be sort of fireworks going off in a smoke cloud. And then there's this almighty boom, this huge blast. You can see this enormous mushroom cloud go into the air. The shock wave, the blast wave, was felt 230 kilometres away in Cyprus. And it's left hundreds of buildings completely destroyed, flattened. Homes 20 kilometres away had their windows blown out, and cars, we've seen images of them just flipped onto their roofs as if they were toys. It goes to show how forceful this blast was. As I mentioned, in terms of the death toll, more than 70 people have been confirmed dead, more than 3,700 wounded. Many, many more are still trapped underneath the rubble. They're in their homes, they're in buildings, and the emergency services are working tirelessly to try and free them. As I mentioned, hospitals already stretched because of the pandemic. So they have started to turn people away. There's scenes of people lining up, bloodied, injured, seeking treatment, and they're being turned away from these hospitals. Lebanon's interior minister said that it appears that the blast was caused by huge quantities of ammonium nitrate, which was stored at the port. And this is an interesting one, but local media is reporting at the moment in Beirut that preliminary security information, it talks about 2,700 tons of confiscated ammonia that was stored at the port, that confiscated off the ship a couple of years ago, that it exploded. And it exploded during a process of welding a small hole to prevent it being stolen. So this is a highly explosive material, and there's a suggestion that someone's gone in there, tried to weld a hole, and it sparked this devastating, deadly blast.
Jeez, are they worried about post-blast contamination because of these chemicals being exploded into the air?
Yes, and the health minister has just put out a statement suggesting that anyone who can leave Beirut now, because the toxic fumes can have lasting effects, side effects, health impacts. But of course, Beirut, Lebanon is a country that, you know, a lot of people, half of them are in poverty at the moment. It's in the middle of the pandemics and in the middle of a financial crisis as well. A lot of people don't have anywhere else to go. They don't have a means and ability to get out of that city. This is a country that's simply on its knees, and then it's had this happen as well. So, you know, they don't have the resources. The hospitals are underfunded. They've been saying for months that they need more funding. And now this on top of it, just absolutely heartbreaking.
I just can't, Soph, the picture that you tweeted, I just can't believe it. It is just total.
It's hard to believe that such a destructive chemical could be stored within a general population.
And so much of it.
Yes. And already there's anger growing from people on the ground. Huge questions are going to be raised about why this highly dangerous material was stored there. There's a suggestion that, you know, that area had been storing this kind of material for 6 years. So the Prime Minister said that, you know, people are going to be held to account why that was there, why it wasn't destroyed when it was initially confiscated. Who knows? Plenty of questions to it, Andrew.
Yeah. Breaking news this morning, Beirut death toll, as Sov said, is just climbing and climbing. We look forward to seeing your reports throughout the day on Channel 9 and with Peter Overton tonight on Channel 9 at 6. Sophie Walsh, thanks for joining us for London.
Thank you, Sophie.
He's in the house, y'all.
Yes.
Okay, hang on, hang on. I expect nothing less.
Roll out the carpet.
Thank you very much, boys.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Mickey D, who is on between 9 and midday here at Triple M, doing the classic 9 at 9 from the 90s, I believe, today.
No, 1990.
That's what I said, from the 90s, 1990.
Ah, fuck. No, the 90s would be all 9 years.
Of 1990. Anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Rob, for stepping in. Well, you have to explain these things.
It's important to be specific.
Robbie's a bit of a simpleton, Paddy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here. Now, Michael, we've got you in here, Mickey D, because there was something we were just chatting the other day when we came in to see you to get on your show. Anyway, you were talking about mowing the lawn, which I did on Sunday. And I said about the shoes that I wore, which Rob had going.
Well.
My sand shoes.
And
you said an outstanding claim. Unbelievable. What was it?
I wear thongs.
I
wear thongs too, to the beach.
No, mowing lawn.
He wears thongs, gentlemen, ladies, and bald-headed babies, while mowing the lawn.
That's ridiculous.
Been doing it for years.
Absolutely.
No.
Haven't had a problem yet.
13, 27, 10. Do you still mow?
What about, hang on.
Safety.
Do you do your edges?
Yeah.
In thongs?
Yeah.
With a whippersnipper?
Yeah, I hold it out the front. It's not near my feet.
Ah,
that's how he does.
No
his,
way.
That's how
I
he does.
I have full trousers that I put on. They're my yard trousers. I put them on, and I put my boots on, and then I do my.
You're not a beekeeper,
mate. That's how he does his bikini line as well, with his thongs and the whippersnapper.
That's
a different thong, mate.
You may as well do it nude. You're supposed to be in your grubby speedos as well.
Not quite.
Do you wear shorts?
Yeah,
shorts.
Yeah, shorts and a flannel.
Shorts are
fine. But I wear glasses just in case something flicks up.
You have a little, like a wide-brimmed hat with corks hanging off it as well? Just to complete the picture?
No.
You should be on The Real Husbands of Gosford. Seriously, his character. Does anyone want to know?
You are out on a pedestal on your own there, Mickey D, I think.
Does anyone in your house?
Surely most people wear thongs.
No, they don't. Seriously, 13, 27, 10. Do you still wear thongs mowing the lawn? Wrong. You should be ostracised and sent to Victoria. Truly?
All you need to do is just one little slip and then boom, there you go, your toes.
I know. Your sand shoes don't offer that much protection either.
Well, they offer more than a pair of thongs.
Thongs, absolutely. Absolutely. In speedos as well.
Hard to believe.
I know.
No one mows the lawn.
Troy of Gosford. Troy,
Mickey
good morning.
D.
Hello, mate.
Troy.
Good morning, Mickey D. Good morning,
hey, Troy.
Rob. And good morning, Paddy Gerard.
Now, do you wear
three
thongs?
Three from three.
Thongs in your lawn. Do you, Mickey? Do you, Troy?
Well, yeah, I do, actually, because you've got to air your feet. That's the thing, you know. Your feet have got to be aired. You can't be wearing boots and shoes all day and every day. You've got to, you know, let them have some vitamin C. Oh.
That's right, mate.
Vitamin C, don't you think, isn't it D?
Both.
Oh, well, that as well, Paddy, but I didn't think you could count to D, so that's why I said C.
Oh, no.
And I thought
you
the
don't
nine
count
fingers.
Numbers. Anyway, Troy C. All right, so that's one. One person is with you.
People of the Central Coast have got common sense.
All right. 107.7
Triple M.
Okay.
What's going on here?
No, it was just our conversation the other day. And you didn't say it's in confidence.
Didn't we have the cone down?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't have the cone of silence down at this stage. And you're a really well-travelled guy. You always say, yeah, because I've been to Taree. And
come on, I'm still baffled. Just tell me, what is it? What haven't I done?
Rob Palmer. I should have a bloody drum roll there. In all his life, has never had a flatmate.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that all?
Because you live with your mummy and daddy to a certain age. And you go, oh, I've got to live with mummy and daddy because I can't spare to be a bear to be apart. And so you live with mummy and daddy, then you, because you're married, Gwen. Okay. You've never had a flatmate. I can't believe
wife, Gwen, was my flatmate, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, but that's different. You've
we were
never
living together.
You've never gone out and
accommodation. Never had shared accommodation with people that I wasn't romantically involved with.
I can't believe it. But is Rob Palmer the only person in the world that has never had a flatmate?
No. Plenty of people.
I think because, as I said, you're
25.
Still living with mum and daddy. Hey?
24, maybe? 24,
25. 26.
No, I was married 26. At 26. No, actually, no. Yeah, I was, actually. Married.
You missed out on so much. I mean, there's some...
No, I did
yes,
not.
Yes, you did.
I've heard some stories.
Oh, look, yeah. There have been two...
Who'd want that?
Out of... What are you talking about, me? In the, all the time that I've flattered, because travelling in this game...
Yes.
I'd just go share accommodation wherever I went. There was only two occasions, a lady in Darwin and a lady at Coolangatta. And they were the only... And I knew straight away that that was it. We couldn't stand...
Well,
to stay with each other and as a flatmate, because the one in Coolangatta, Fort Loopy, I moved in on the Sunday and she rang me on the Monday at work and said, listen, I've just left a few notes for you when you get home. I think, yeah, no worries. And I think she was with the bank. Anyway, when I went home, she had post-it notes. She said, oh, by the way, I noticed last night, can you not lay on the couch because you'll crush the armrests? And I went, oh, straight away. You're joking. But then when I opened the door,
yeah.
I had, this is a hand towel, post-it notes all around the house. Yeah, no bull. She said, this is a hand towel, not a tea towel. This is that tea towel, not the hand towel.
Did she know you previously?
Because no.
Obviously she knew you.
I rang her from the newspaper. And then she said, this is where the phone goes, blah, 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 blah. This is, and all around the house. No joke.
She took one look at you and knew you were going to be trouble. That's what it was.
As soon as she walked in that Monday, as soon as she got home from work, she said, did you use the phone? I said, yeah. She said, you didn't put it back in the correct place. I went, you're joking me.
See, anyway, I don't have these problems because I didn't flat with anyone.
But what happened? The end of it. Oh, this is a bit bad. Because she was really religious. And on the Sunday night when I was moving out, I said, you're a hypocrite to Catholicism. And she said, the note back to me was, your snide and sarcastic remarks are a sign of your immaturity. And then that
tick.
Was it.
Bang on the money there.
Billy Mac, Bensville. G'day, mate.
Hey, Billy Mac.
G'day, Rob. Oh, daddy.
Shut your mouth. Have you never had a flatmate either?
Rob, our lives are so parallel, it's unbelievable. We love our rugby, although the Kiwi rugby is the only one worth watching at the moment. And we love our Parramatta Eels.
And you're both are dimwits.
And we stayed at home to save money. That's why we didn't go out and get a flatmate. We have more money to spend on alcohol.
Yeah, now you're talking, Billy, mate.
No, but Billy, I wanted to look at flatmates from hell. I didn't want to look at, have you never had a flatmate?
Yeah,
flatmates.
How can you not be in a boat race with no money? You can't. You've got to have money to be in a boat race.
You do.
And you only get that by staying at home with mum and dad.
That is correct. Yeah. Stay at home.
And then you get married. And you move on, and now you've got a Minister for War and Finance who looks after everything.
Careful, Billy Mac. I don't want to draw too many parallels. You get me into trouble.
If you went and had a flatmate, you'd end up with someone like P.D. Gerard.
Get out of here. Thank you, Billy Mac. Honestly, 13-27-10, your flatmates from hell. Make Rob, well, don't make him feel better. He's never had a flatmate because he stayed with mummy and daddy all his life. 16 past 8. What happened with some of your flatmate stories? Oh, the one in Darwin wouldn't let me watch anything but the ABC. No joke. This is behind this is what you missed out on, Robert.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you have never had a flatmate, well-travelled, never had a flatmate in your life. You're missing out.
Well, you know, there was a time where I thought I might be missing out a little bit. And I thought, no, I'm saving a fortune.
Yeah, but that is true. Because you lived with your mummy and daddy till,
don't give me the mummy and daddy bit. 24 I was. And then I went travelling when I was 25, met my wife, got married at about 26. Yeah. Okay. Actually, it might have been even 24.
30.
And 23 even.
I was telling you about the girl, the lady that I lived with at in Darwin of Pain, the one that I lived with. It's not me, by the way, out of all the share accommodation, the one at Coolangatta. But there was one I lived in Brisbane, and what she'd do, she'd put marks on the orange juice and all that sort of stuff as to where the level
Because it was her orange juice.
Because it was her orange juice.
Oh, jeez, what a punish.
And I would just drink it and then fill it up with water and shake it. And
you are a dog.
Mark Narara, g'day, mate.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, boys. I bet you drank it out of the bottle too, you dirty dog.
Yeah, he would have.
I did. Mark, I did.
He's such a grub.
Now, flatmates from hell, mate. Have you ever had one?
Oh, mate, I had a good mate that was going to stay for 2 weeks. He stayed 18 months. I won't mention any names because he's probably listening. But he was used to just going down and nothing in the fridge. And he'd get there and so you'd fill the fridge up and you'd go, what's for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know. You know, he's looking at the mirror, having a good look at how big he was after going to the gym and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So you'd cook salmon or something decent, and then, you know, he was having a great life. So, but then the thing was, he never told me, you know, you put a sock on the door if you had someone or someone like that. It was the old days.
Sock on the door. Right, yep.
Yeah, so you knew he was entertaining. But here I am one day, it's about 10 o'clock, and I've come out walking around in my jocks, and his bedroom door opens, and this beautiful girl comes out in her underwear, and I look at her and go, hi, do you want some breakfast?
See, this is what you're missing out, being not having a flatmate.
I'm not missing a thing.
He's missing out, isn't he, Mark?
He is. You just don't know what's going on. So, that's what happens in a bachelor's pad, but, you know, Paddy was a bit different sharing with a girl, so... Yeah, it's certainly an experience, mate. That's what you've missed out on.
Yeah, he seriously, mate, you have missed. He has missed out, Marky. Thanks for that.
Why would I want to live with strangers?
No, I've made some great friends over the time. I've made a lot of enemies, but I've made some great friends by shared accommodation.
107.7 Triple M. From the makers of The Real Housewives comes a drama just as enthralling and compelling, The Real House Husbands of Gosford. In this episode, Jezza and Jado have decided to take advantage of the COVID crisis and make some extra cash.
Morning, Jado!
Yeah, morning, Jezza.
What time is it?
Oh, it's only 2 o'clock.
I am.
Oh, PM.
Hey, guys, do you want to become millionaires, Jado?
What are millionaires? Are they the fellas who go on the telly with that bloke Eddie Maguire?
Millionaires are people who have become millionaires.
All right. So how do we become millionaires?
By doing something that makes heaps of cash.
Like what we do at the train station.
Nah, something more legal.
So how do we make that money?
We are going to make extra cash by playing a lot. That's the first step. We're going to pick some lucky numbers between 1 and 40.
Oh, that's a tough one. I didn't study physics at school, whatever it was, but hang on. The first number, 5!
How'd you come up with that one?
The number of 6-packs in a beer.
Brilliant, Jada! That's our first number! Speaking of beers, let's toast our new career of being a millionaire.
Cheers, biggies!
Hey guys, thanks for subscribing and listening to the podcast.
You know what? We're just realising how good this podcast thing is. You can listen to it anywhere you like, whenever it suits you. So go for it.
Anytime, anywhere.
I just said that.
I know, I'm just saying what you said.
Anyway, I reckon it's about time you put your shirt back on. I've got to go.
See you later, guys.
Hooroo.